like to feel cheated. Pastor Dave, or you said Pastor Dale's not gonna.
Yeah, Pastor Dale.
Feel cheated. Is that true, Dale? Okay. Well, we are slowly moving along here in Galatians. If you know where we are and you know how long the epistle is, well, you know, sometime soon here, there's going to have to be a new series, or we're just going to go back to verse 1 and start over again. We're going to get this right. it's a very important book. It's one, and I say unfortunately, it's indicative of to where a lot of Christendom is. You know, trying to please God in the flesh, trying to live the Christian life in one's own strength, trying to show that the flesh can do something that would be approvable to God. This is a problem in Christendom. It can be a problem for all of us if we're not careful, that flesh likes to do. But you know, the salvation that we have from God, what the Lord accomplished on the cross work, it was absolutely necessary for us to have the salvation that we have. And so, it's really a shame for any of us or any Christian to set aside something that we have by grace to us, but it actually was quite a cost to provide it. To set that aside, to try and do something that's impossible through the flesh, that's just sad. That's sad. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. But we're going to have to relate to Scripture to know what God says, and then we're going to have to take him at his word. And so when he says the flesh, it can't perform what is pleasing to God. Well, do we take him at his word, or are we going to try and live by the flesh and try to prove otherwise? And so, you know, when these Galatians, they were being influenced by, I call them Judaizers. And their confidence was in the flesh. Their boast was in the flesh. And last week we looked at Galatians 6:11 through 6:13. Hey, we got three verses in one Sunday. I'm not going to try and aim that high today. We're just going to look at two verses. But in verse 12, this will help because Paul's going to contrast something about himself with these Judaizers. And so going back to Galatians 6:12, we read, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh." And so just as many that are wishing to make a fair show, to make a good appearance, a fair appearance. And this word has the idea to also to please. In a quality of flesh. He says, these ones, they compel you, continuously compel you, urge you to be circumcised. As it relates to keeping law for present tense salvation. And we see here a reason they're doing this is only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ, for the cross work of Christ. Now, it's going to be a contrast to what Paul's going to say. These are want to avoid being persecuted, pursued with the intent to harm on account of the crosswork of Christ. Paul is going to, basically, he's going to say that if he's going to boast, that's where his boast should be. It's going to be quite a contrast. And he goes on in verse 13 here, and he points out the hypocrisy of those that are trying to live by a quality of law. So you have this explanatory gar in 6:13. He says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised guard law, any quality of law. And so they themselves who are circumcised with the intent to try and live by law, neither do they guard a quality of law. And so whatever the standard is, they're not guarding it. That's the flesh. It doesn't do that. The flesh will maybe guard parts of something, but it's always looking for some way around in other areas. And so what we see, though, is what they do is on the contrary, but they desire, they're continuously desiring or wishing to have you circumcised, he tells the Galatians. And so these Judaizers are continuously desiring to have others circumcised for the intent of trying to live by law. And so to put them in a place of trying to go forward in their Christian life through self-effort. And we see one of the purposes that they're doing that, it's not to guard the law, it's in order that they might boast in your flesh. And so here we see that word for boast, that they might boast in your flesh. And so the Judaizers, rather than guarding any quality of law, they put themselves in a position of being pleased. And so they try and get other people to do the things, whatever, not a law, but a certain standard. And they're going to emphasize the standard to them for that person to do. And then when that person maybe succumbs and tries to live according to a standard to please that Judaizer, I'm calling them, they can boast and say, oh, wow, look at what this person is doing. And so they're doing this in their own strength. They're making this change in their life. You see, you hear what I just said? They're making this change in their life. It's not about what God has done and what God is doing. It's about, look at what they've done. You know, you can go find a 9-step program for just about anything, right? And people in their own strength may be able to make certain improvements in certain aspects of their life. But the thing about the flesh is inherently corrupt from the inside out. And so, yeah, you can look at the flesh and you can put some makeup on it and give it a good appearance in some areas. But underneath that makeup, it's still the flesh. It's still corrupt. So it's just an appearance. God's provided us a salvation where we can allow him to change us from the inside out. So our trust shouldn't be in our flesh. It shouldn't be in our own abilities. It should be in him. It should be in him. And so that's going to bring us to these next two verses in Galatians 6:14 and 6:15. And so this is in contrast to the Judaizers. Paul's boast is in the crosswork of our Lord. He's not looking at the crosswork that was just something for initial salvation. It's not something that's just for future tense salvation. It's something for all three tenses of salvation. And so that's where Paul's boast is. And so let's pray and we'll embark on these next two verses. Father, we do thank you for the day. We're grateful for your word and for the truth it contains. And we're thankful that as we relate to it, that we have the potential to see things more and more the way you do. We pray your spirit would continue to guide and teach as we continue. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so Paul, he uses what's referred to as the optative voice here to express a wish. So let's see, the King James says, "But God forbid that I should glory." Well, we don't have God, we don't have forbid, and we don't have glory in the Greek here. just literally what he says is, but may it never come to be. It's or genomai in an optative verb here. It says, but may it never come to be that I should boast. And so Paul's not going to boast in himself. He's not going to boast in the flesh. But he says, may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And so this is in contrast. Paul says, may it never be that I should boast. The Judaizers, they're quick to boast in something that they're involved in or something that they've helped some other person to trust in the flesh and show what they're capable of. But Paul says here, may it never come to be, expresses this desire that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the cross here he's talking about is the cross work. The cross is where the transaction occurred that makes our salvation possible. And so Paul, that's where Paul's boast is. So he's, let me just turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And 1 Corinthians 1, 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the word concerning the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness, but to unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God. So that's 1 Corinthians 1, 17 and 18. Now, I did bring you to a couple of these verses last week, but let's go over to Philippians 3 again. We read Philippians 3, 3, but I want to back up and just pick up 3, 1 through verse 3. Here Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Now he's talking about Judaizers here. He says, for we are the circumcision, which worship God. This is a, this worshiping is a priestly service, priestly serving, God by the Spirit. I'm going to translate that to end preposition here as by, and I'm going to capitalize Spirit here. Or priestly serving God by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And rejoice should be boasting, and our boasting in Christ Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh. quite a contrast of where Paul is saying himself and Christians should be versus where the Judaizers are. He's drawing a real strong contrast. And then, of course, he goes on, and we won't follow this down, but he says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, I might also have confidence in the flesh. If anyone had reasons to have confidence in the flesh, Paul could probably get cuts in line for that because he had a few. let's go. We did go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll go back there, the end of the chapter, talking about boasting. And so backing up to verse 29, we see here that no flesh should boast before thee God. And then he goes on in verse 30 and says, but out from him are you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that is boasting, so I'm changing the King James because it's the same root here, he that is boasting, let him boast in the Lord. And so really that's where our boast should be, that's where our confidence should be, not the flesh, not ourselves. And so Paul says, but may it never be that I should boast except in the cross, the idea of the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gives a full title here. So the Lord emphasizes the divine master, the head of the body. Jesus, his humanity, Christ, the risen and glorified one. Except in the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He does this three times in Galatians. He uses this full title like this. He did that in 1:3, where he said, grace is to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is to you, he tells him. Then you have the second occurrence here. And our last occurrence. And I'm going to save. So, you know, we only have three verses after today. If I am able to get through these two verses in the next hour and a half. But I'm going to save the last verse for one message. But you see the full title used in the last verse. Brethren, the grace from our Lord Jesus Christ is with your spirit. Amen. And so that'll be kind of fun, actually. It's a kind of an interesting way to end an epistle. But it fits so perfectly. Just with the use of that title and grace and then the mention of their human spirit. There's a lot there. And so he uses the full title here. And so that's where Paul's boast, if he's going to boast, that's where he wants to boast, is in the cross work. Now that's contrasted to the Judaizers. As a result, they're trying to avoid persecution for the cross work of Christ. But Paul, you'll see that coming up in verse, he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus in verse 17. But back in verse 5:11, Paul basically says the scandal of the cross is rendered inoperative if he's heralding circumcision. which he's not. Not heralding circumcision as for present tense salvation or practice. And so in verse 11, 5:11, Paul says, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." The offense, the scandal of the cross has ceased. But it hasn't. And so now it's interesting. You might be wondering, why is Paul going to slip in reference to the world system, in this last clause? He says, "May it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then he says, "Through whom the world," or equality of the world, it's anarthros in the Greek, "through whom equality of the world has been crucified to me and I unto the world." Why would he do that? Why would he throw that in here with circumcision? Then you're going to see, so you have the cross work, you have the mention of the world. He's going to come back to circumcision in verse 15. Why is that kind of sandwiched in here in this context? And so I'm just going to make a couple comments before I answer that. Your King James says, "By whom?" But it's dia, it should be through. And so I see the New American Standard says through. So the New American Standard makes that adjustment for the dia there, through. The one thing the New American Standard does, though, that doesn't leave the whom alone. It says through which. Through which. And so it takes it back to the cross. But this relative pronoun goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it should be whom. It says, "So through whom," looking at the person, "equality of the world has been crucified to me." And so he uses the perfect tense here, something that has been with abiding results. He says, "Through whom equality of the world system is in a state of being crucified to me and I to equality of the world." Now the word to be crucified, this verb, means to literally to die by crucifixion. And so Paul here is talking about his position in Christ. His position in Christ, where the cross work has been applied to him, and each believer is counted to have participated in that work through our substitute. And so Paul says, "Through whom equality of the world is in a state of being crucified to me and I to the world." Now, the reason why I believe Paul is bringing the world into this. Now, remember, the world system is Satan's baby. The world system is a system that Satan has devised to influence mankind. And that might be kind. Maybe I should cross influence out there and say manipulate. That might be better. And this world system has its own wisdom. It has its own wisdom. And that wisdom also contributes to people having confidence in the flesh. And so here, though, Paul is emphasizing that there's been a separation from the world system. That's in our position in Christ. The believer is separated from the world system and is and its wisdom in Christ. In Christ. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me pick up in verse 20. "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And the way that rhetorical question is constructed indicates that the expected answer is yes. Yes. God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. For since by the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom experientially knew not God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. See, that's going to be contrasted to the wisdom from the world. Now let's go ahead and now I'm not going to have time to develop wisdom here, but there's a wisdom from God. There's a wisdom that comes from the world system. How are we going to get wisdom from God? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:12. Now we have received not the spirit from the world. I'm going to translate it from here, ablative, because what he's going to do in the next clause with an ex preposition. It says, now we have received not the spirit from the world, but the spirit, capital S, which is out from God as the source. In order that we might know the things that are graciously given to us by God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual words with spiritual things. That's 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 2:13. So did I not say that? Yeah, well, we will get to 12:12, but that's not for the next verse. Sorry. So for those that were confused, I apologize. That was 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 2:13. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians 3:19. Now let's back up to verse 18. Let no man deceive himself, for if any man among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. The idea of vain there is useless, futile. And so, Paul here, I believe what he's doing is when he's emphasizing the separation from the world system that we have in Christ, there's also a separation from that wisdom, that standard. Now, Satan, don't think that all of his ideas are original. He doesn't mind taking something like the Mosaic law that's not for the church and Christians and incorporating aspects of it into his system, his standard. One thing you can look though at the world system is that standards are always changing. You can look at the standards of the world system. You could look back 20 years ago, things that weren't acceptable 20 years ago are apparently acceptable today. Now, How does that happen? Does righteousness change? No, but the world system is constantly changing, and the standards are constantly changing. Let's go back to Colossians, or over to Colossians. Last thing we want to do is use world system standards to judge ourselves. How are we doing? Well, let's look at the world system standards and see, well, how am I doing? Well, you know, it's changing all of the time. So then you're just going to say, well, what are you going to judge? You're going to judge yourself to other people? Well, that's not going to be a very good indication of where you're at in your Christian life. Might look good, might have the appearance of looking good, but whatever you're doing, if you're doing it by the flesh, that Christian life is just a good appearance, right? It may not even be a good appearance. It's the motivation makes a difference. The Holy Spirit has to be the source of the motivation. When we sow because of the Spirit, then we know not only is it a good appearance, but it's also of something that has lasting value and stands the test of time and the test of approval. Now in Colossians chapter 2:20, chapter 2, verse 20, it says, wherefore, since you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, dogmas, standards that don't come from God? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things indeed have a show of wisdom. King James says in will worship, kind of the idea of self-imposed religion and humility and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor or value to the satisfying of the flesh. And so here we see these things, there's no value against the indulgence of the flesh in these things. And so they have the appearance of that, but there's no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Now it is in Christ, though, as part of our salvation, that we can live free from serving the flesh. And that's in our position in Christ, the body of Christ, where we can live resurrection life. And it's a supernatural thing. We're not fighting the sin nature when we're living resurrection life. We're getting our thinking out of the way and allowing the Holy Spirit to do something supernatural so we can live above it. See, law doesn't do that. Self-effort doesn't work for that. And so in Colossians 2:8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you, carry you off as booty, as a bounty. Does any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, just empty deceit, measured by the tradition of men, measured by the rudiments of the world, and not measured by Christ? That's the standard of measurement. And so that's why I think he's bringing the world system in here, is some of the things the Judaizers were doing, they were mixing some things that were being incorporated into the wisdom of the world. Trust in yourself. And so remember, the world system is a subtle enemy. It is one of our spiritual enemies. You know, we're in it, but we're not out from it. We are not to direct agape love at it. We are to use it, but we're not to use it to its full. It's a very subtle enemy. I've got some different ideas for my next series. I'm not sure. Maybe this is why I've slowed down, because the Holy Spirit hasn't made it clear to me what my next series is going to be. But I've been thinking about doing a little bridge series on the world system. I spent a lot of time talking about the flesh, living resurrection life, maybe because that's probably been the biggest challenge for me. I've gone through the armor a couple of different times, but haven't covered in detail the world system. And so I've been thinking that might be where we'll go, at least for a while, looking at the world system after the first of the year. But Paul here, he emphasizes it's through whom the Lord Jesus Christ, that Paul says he's in a state of having been crucified, or that the world's been crucified to him. And he says, and I to the world. Now he's going to go on and he's going to explain. And so, if you have an interlinear, you'll see the second Greek word is gar. That's called what I refer to as an explanatory gar. And so now your New American Standard, there's some textual issues here. So your New American Standard isn't going to have a couple of important clauses in here. This first one is probably the most important, is for in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus. So Paul's going to explain this on the heels of making the statement that he just did. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. And the King James says avails anything. Oh, we'll talk about that word in a minute. But a new creation. And so the ellipsis, a new creation does avail something. Let's first talk about this first part. For in Christ Jesus, every Christian is in Christ by spirit baptism. Whether one lives in light of it or not, you are in Christ. And that's through spirit baptism. Let's go to what I like to attribute to Jan, her favorite verse. No, I probably made it her one of her favorite verses, but I'd like to draw attention. Jan was fun in this. But in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit were we all baptized, and we could substitute the word immersed, into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, that doesn't make a difference. In the world system, race makes a difference. Gender makes a difference. But he says, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, the world system, social status makes a difference. We've all been made to drink one spirit. And so it's by one spirit, the Holy Spirit, where we all immersed into one body, the body of Christ. And so we all share in that same privilege. in Romans 6:4. You can see that that position of privilege should make a difference in how we go about our lives. Therefore, we are buried with him, talking about co-buried with Christ, through the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, I always like to emphasize glory there as the idea of opinion there. I think that helps you to see that God's opinion makes a difference. And God has an opinion about us in Christ. And so he says, here, as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk by newness of life. This newness of life is resurrection life that we have in Christ. Remember, the other side of it is we possess eternal life because Christ is in us. But here he's looking at the life that we have in Christ that's imputed to us. And so he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Now, before I turn there, before I move off of the in Christ, I want to turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And this will be familiar because we've been in 2:10 a number of times here. But it's important because it's going to tie to what Paul's going to say at the end of verse 15. Now remember, he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. That word avails means is of any strength. Then he says, but rather a new creation is of strength, is what he's saying. And now that connects to in Christ. And we're going to make that connection right here in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Talking about God's, we're the result of God's doing, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, not good works that you can decide what they are and the flesh can try and do them. Those things aren't going to be agathos good. God's not going to be the source of those. Those, no matter what they look like, they're not going to stand the test for approval at the Bema seat. Remember, the source makes a difference. And so he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which the God has previously prepared that we should walk in them or by them. Wherefore, remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ, ye, the ones who sometimes were far off, are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to create in himself of the two into one. So make a couple little adjustments on your translation there, because King James says make, but it's to create in himself of the two into one new man, so making peace. And so here, talking about the creation, really, of the Christ, of Jew and Gentile into one new man, and so making peace. Now, Paul here is going to go on over in chapter 3, and I'm just going to grab a couple things, but you can see this makes a difference in how we live out our present tense salvation. He says in 3:2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. So Paul is the steward of this dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of the Christ, the Christ. And so, the Christ, of course, we're going to go shortly here to 1 Corinthians 12:12, where it defines the Christ. It's the body of Christ with Christ as the head and we being members of it. And so when Paul says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything. Now there's a textual problem here. Your New American Standard won't have that. This one has a little more of a, kind of balanced support. The first textual problem in this verse, for in Christ Jesus, I believe has strong support to include it. So I would include the first one without hesitation, for in Christ Jesus. Now this one availeth anything, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. It's our Greek word, ischuo, which just literally means to be strong. So what he's saying here is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any strength in Christ. And so he's talking about in present tense for the Christian life, circumcision or uncircumcision. There's no strength in it. It's not going to make you a better Christian one way or the other. Okay? That doesn't matter in Christ. Now, what is he doing here? He's trying to get them to think about not trying to use the flesh to please God or to try and change the flesh from the outside in. He's trying to get them to live in the provisions of the new creation, to live in their position in Christ. Let me just go over to 2 Timothy, and let me just read something here Paul's going to tell Timothy. And perhaps one of his last communications to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul says, thou therefore, my born one, my child. It says here, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now this isn't you see strong there and you might think, well, oh, this is ischuo. This isn't, in dunam, Ma'o here. This is empowered. It's literally empowered. He says, thou therefore, my child, be empowered by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So that would be contrast to the Judaizers who were trying to live by a quality of law. And encouraging others to live in confidence in the flesh. Be empowered though by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to Galatians. In Galatians 5:6, we had a similar phrase here in Galatians 5:6. And there's no textual issue here where you see availeth translated, but it's the same verb. It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. And so that the King James translates availeth anything, it's our same verb. Neither circumcision of any strength nor uncircumcision. But here's what is of strength, but faith, which works, just is energized through love, agape love. Faith and love, both aspects of the fruit from the Spirit. And so there he's making that same point, that in Christ Jesus, there's no strength in circumcision nor uncircumcision. Now they were thinking there was, some of them. Remember what they're doing. Remember what he says in 5:4. He says, you have been rendered inoperative from Christ. Whosoever of you are, I would just translate it, trying to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. You're trying to be justified from law? Well, you're definitely not being empowered by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Right? And so they've been rendered inoperative from Christ. Coming back to Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any strength or avails anything, is of strength in anything, for anything. But rather, now this last clause, we're just going to take a look at this last clause. In the Greek, he uses Allah, which is, emphasizes a strong contrast, but rather a new creation is. And so I'm going to supply the is here. So in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any strength, but rather a new creation is of strength. Talking about for present tense salvation for the Christian life. So what is he talking about here? Well, what he's saying is, the new creation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now the King James is going to supply an ellipsis, he is. And I would suggest that you don't include the ellipsis here. He's not talking about the person is a new creation, but he's talking about someone in Christ. That's the new creation. So I just translate it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so this new creation is of strength for present tense salvation, for the Christian life. Now, the new creation that he's talking about is a verse I steered some of you towards a little early, but in 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is the Christ. And so here Paul identifies the new creation, this new creation, if we put all of this together, this new creation that began on the day of Pentecost with the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit, where believers were immersed into the body of Christ. So we have many members in one body and Christ as the head. That is, here Paul's is, refers to it as the Christ. The Christ. It's a new creation. It was something that wasn't in existence until the day of Pentecost. And so we are a part of this new creation. We're the result of God's doing, created in Christ Jesus. Over in 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul says, now ye are a quality of the body of Christ and members in part. Each one of us are a part of the body of Christ. Now, it's not a headless body, right? That the head, the body has a head, and we know that the head is the Lord himself. And so let's just go to Colossians 1:18. Put that in mind. In Colossians 1:18, there's, and he is the head of the body, the church. And so he's the head of the body. And so this new creation, the body of Christ with Christ as the head, one entity, one with one another and one with him, that makes a difference in present tense salvation in the Christian life. And go, let me go back to Galatians. And Paul has alluded to this a number of places and in different ways. But let me just back up to Galatians 3:26 through 28. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In him is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so that's a fact. That is a fact. That is truth. Now, whether we live in light of that, that's up to us. That's up to us. And if we're going to live in light of that, we have to make a determination. And to not make a determination is to make a decision. Because look at what Paul says in Romans 7:25. And talking about being freed from the sin nature, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself with the mind serve a law of God, but with the flesh a law or principle of sin. So what's it going to be? You're going to use your mind and serve a principle, a law of God? Or if you don't make that decision and you just let the flesh run, you're going to serve a law or principle of sin. It's like a universal truth for the Christian. And so how are we going to use our mind then? We want to be empowered by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, let's just go back to tie this off. Almost there. Romans 6:11. We have this word reckon. It means to impute. Logically consider it so. So he says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be indeed dead unto the sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, logically counting yourself to be dead unto the sin nature, you're not going to try and reform it. You're not going to try and contain it, suppress it with law. You're going to count yourself dead to it. So you're not going to respond to it. On the other hand, you're going to count yourself alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. in your position in Christ with Him as the master, the head. And so this takes us right back to Colossians chapter 3. Now remember, we did finish in, we were in Colossians 2, talking about how in 2:20, he says, wherefore, since you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to these dogmas? That's not how we're going to live a life pleasing to God. We want to be empowered by the grace that is in Christ. And so coming down to chapter 3, verse 1, since you be co-risen with Christ. So not only did we die intimately together with Him in our position, but we're also co-risen with Him. And since you be co-risen with Him, seek those things which are above, where the Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now, I purposely added the article there because it's there in the Greek, and this very well could be pertaining to we're counted to be seated there with the risen and glorified one in our position in Christ. So seek those things which are above, where the Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your frame of mind on things above. So your frame of mind and these things above are related to our position in Christ, where we're co-seated, where, because we've been co-raised with Him. And so we set our frame of mind on those things above, not on the earth. And He explains in verse 3, for you, you died, and your life is hid with the Christ and the God. And so you died, talking about in your position in Christ, where we died intimately together with Him. And your life, talking about your resurrection life, where we can live free of the sin nature, is hid with the Christ, talking about in your position in the body of Christ, intimately together with the resurrected and glorified one. And then you have a reference to a position in the God. And he says in verse 4, when Christ, our life, now he's talking about eternal life, I believe, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. And so Paul has come and he's had a lot to say. He's packed a lot in these verses as he's summarizing things up, and he's contrasted where his boast is. His boast is in the crosswork of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that crosswork, there's a separation that's happened from the world system and its wisdom. And so Paul then comes back and explains that it's in Christ Jesus that there's strength, and that strength is tied for present tense salvation and the Christian life to a new creation, a new, and I didn't comment on this word for new, but it's new in quality creation, new in quality. But a new creation is of strength in Christ Jesus. And so, if we want to be empowered by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, we're going to have to seek those things above related to our position and set our frame of mind on things above, and then allow God to work from the inside out. Let's close. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for the cross work. We're thankful for the work that's been accomplished on our behalf, and we're grateful for grace and for the position that we have in the new creation, in the Christ. And we're grateful that we have the potential to live the salvation out as you intend us to, as we put into practice those things that you have provided for us. May we be those that continue to learn and grow and to appreciate all that you're doing. And we'll thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.